Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Turn it up.
Check the knife.
You're listening to Talking Metal Live. It's now hour two. John is on his way.
Yes, and we have Militia in the studio. Jay Bones is hanging out. It's an official party. We got Jody from Bionic working with us and Jake in the back room. So thanks to those guys for working hard. And you just heard the tail end, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, of The Ripper. We have Militia from Judas Priestess in the studio, who is hanging out with us. Again, as Bud Friendly said, John is on his way. Ace Frehley will be calling in to the live show. It'll probably actually be the third edition of the podcast version of this live show, but he'll be calling in the 9 o'clock hour tonight. So that'll be exciting. Chris Black from a great band out of Chicago, High Spirits, will be calling in soon, in about 5 minutes, actually. So let's talk about Judas Priest while we have Militia here. Is it odd to you that they're doing this quote unquote farewell tour without KK Downing? It's got to be odd, right? It is odd. To me, it's odd.
Well, you know what it is? I mean, I get it. I understand, like, things happen, lineups change and stuff like that. Does it suck? Yes. Is it, like, just how it is? Yes. I mean, I would hate it more if they stopped performing completely. Mm. I would hate it more if they disintegrated completely.
Right.
So in order to keep the dream alive, they got to keep chugging. So as much as I love KK and miss him, KK was a big supporter of Judas Priestess when we first started. He has a website called The Steel Mill. We're featured on that, and he's actually doing a whole regular thing about tributes that he likes.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Featuring them on his own website, The Steel Mill. But I got to say, the new guy is good. I don't know if that's blasphemy to say right. that out loud and announce
it's
it.
It's like
but
30 years old.
Richie's
too, yeah.
really good. Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of energy. He brings a fresh energy. You know, it's different. Yeah, it's not the original lineup. But, you know, in order to keep the integrity of the band going, they had to get someone who was going to be really killer. And I think they got him for sure. Do I find it weird that they're saying it's their last tour? Well, I freaked out just like everyone else did when they made the announcement that it was the last tour, but it's not actually their last tour. It's the last right. world tour.
Ah.
Okay. So right. world tours.
It's always a fine line, right?
Right. But, you know, world tours take a chunk out of your life.
Sure.
You know, that's like what? It's like over a year, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes you get to the point where it's just like, wow, I would rather just like hit it and quit it. Go out and play somewhere for a month and then go home. And then go out and play this place for a month and then go home. You know, so I don't blame them for wanting to do that, you know. So I know I will definitely be supporting them on this tour. I will be at the IZOD on November 18th, going to see them and supporting them and giving up the love just like everyone else.
Cool, cool.
And what did you say? You're going to Guns N' Roses instead?
I'm actually leaving town on the 18th because we're going out to for the following week. We're away in Indiana, but I'd like to go to Guns N' Roses on the 17th. But here's my issue. I mean, I'm reading these things online, and it's like I don't know if I can bear to wait around until midnight to see them play.
Right.
I mean, it's like, and people are like, oh, well, you know, I mean, when I saw Motley Crue recently, the show ended at 11 and that was perfect for me. And I will say this, I actually found it there was an issue on the Guns N' Roses state, Facebook page or something saying, well, you know, I forget what it said. It's like, oh, if you go to a Guns N' Roses show, don't expect to go to work or school the next day. It's like, what? It's like, okay, so you want me to pay $80 for a ticket, and then you want me to use one of my, you know, six days the next day? Or in my case, I'm freelance, lose money, and not go, you know, it's like, I just feel like that Axel, he's not living in most people's reality who are going to come to the show.
And times have changed.
And I think it's fine if you want to go on at midnight, if you're playing, you know, a club in the city or something. But I think when your fan base is in their 30s and 40s and they all have to, you know, go to work the next day or drive their kids to school, mm-hmm. it's like, you gotta kind of,
I know it's different yeah. now. I know.
Yeah. And so I don't know, but I think I'm going to go because I'm friends. I do love the new Guns N' Roses music, which a yeah. lot of people disagree with me, but I think it's just awesome. And I love Bumblefoot. I love Frank.
Me too. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you know, this is how incestuous the world of rock and roll is that Bumblefoot and I met years ago. When he came and auditioned for the Sandra Bernhardt band. And I'm really outing wow. him right now. But, Sandra, you know, when you're not like, you know, in Guns N' Roses,
right,
sometimes
right.
you take other gigs.
So what's the Sandra Bernhardt band?
Well, Sandra Bernhardt, the comedian.
Yeah, I know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah, she had a band called the Rebellious Jezebels. And this girl, Lafray, who was the music director on drums, brought in her buddy, Bumblefoot, to come in and play guitar.
Interesting.
And I was singing backup.
Oh.
And so that was the first time that I met Bumblefoot, was through that. And he's one of these freaks of nature, you guys, that like, you can just give him like an iPod and be like, okay, listen to this. And then we're going to play it. And he can just like pop it in his ears.
Well,
and he
said,
listens,
you know, they did, when he joined
and
Guns
N' Roses. And then he's like, no, but this is the freakish part. He'll go like, he'll take it out of his ears and he'll go, okay, I got that. And he'll play it. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's really amazing.
You kind of just want to bitch slap him. You're just like, why are you so talented? Boom. You know what I mean?
Well, he said like when he joined, you know, they didn't want Chinese democracy to leak and stuff, which was useless because it all leaked. But they were making him like listen to it on a laptop with like, you know, Guns N' Roses security standing next to him as he tried to figure it uh-huh. out, making sure no one, you know,
that
is listening
funny.
And stuff, and that's how, yeah, so
but he can do that.
Yeah, and it would, in a couple listens, he would have it down.
Yeah, you know, he's got like a music photographic memory. I'm good, but I'm not that good. I'm good. Like, I can remember music for, I can remember music and songs and lyrics better than I can remember conversations. I have a similar kind of brain like that. And I think most people that play music probably have that too, but his is ridiculous.
So do you know this band High Spirits? Have you heard of them at all? They're kind of like, you know, underground. Not many people know about them.
I believe I saw their name online because I was like, oh, it's like the movie.
Yeah.
High Spirits.
There's so little information about them online. So I'm hoping.
Is it a booze reference or is it a paranormal reference?
I don't know. Chris Black hopefully is calling in soon and we can ask him. In the meantime, this is a great song off of their first record, 2009 release. We'll play some of their new music later. It's called Night After Night. Let's check it out here on Talking Metal.
We'll be right back.
Hey, we are back on Talking Metal, and on the line right now we have Chris calling in from a great band called High Spirits. Chris, can you hear me?
I can. How's it going?
Good, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us. That song was the song that turned me on to you guys night after night. I know it's a few years old at this point, 2 years old. Just an amazing and well-written song, and you just don't get that much anymore. And I've gone on to listen to a lot of other songs by you guys, including the brand new album, which we'll talk about. And you are really song-based, and I think that's something so many bands are missing today.
Well, first of all, thanks for the comments about Night After Night. That's always cool to hear, that a listener has been grabbed by our songs, and you know, you're exactly right. We go to what some would say crazy lengths to keep the focus on the songs, because that's really what we want to be known for. We want the songs to be the total package. We don't want people wondering, what t-shirts we're wearing, what we look like, what obscure Swedish heavy metal band names we can drop. We really want the songs to be inclusive of our image and to really get into people's ears and their imaginations and like I said, really deliver all of the goods.
Yeah, and it's
very cool to hear.
And when you mention imaginations, it's because, like, when I was growing up, I lived in the Chicago suburbs, and we'd find out about a band that we heard on like a high school or college radio station, and our imaginations would get going, and we'd try to track the album down, and we'd ride our bikes literally all over, the suburbs looking for these albums by these heavy metal bands,
Sure.
And it's kind of interesting because with you guys. I'm so used to, I hear a band and I Google them and there's the Wikipedia page. There's, way more info than I would ever want online. But it was weird because when I found out about you guys, I actually went online and there's so little information written about you guys online that it almost added to the mystique. And I was like, what, I was just dying to find out more information. I couldn't even find a contact for you guys to book this interview. I ended up a friend of mine, actually Victor from the Mars Attacks podcast, hooked me up with your email. But is there purposely a lack of information out there online about High Spirits, or is it just something that happened for other reasons?
Well, there's a few different things probably contributing to that. We're a relatively new band. You have to keep that in mind. We've been a band, I guess, since early 2009. So that's really not a lot of time. And like I said, we have been very song oriented from the start. The first demo that Night After Night was from really just kind of threw that out there. We made a logo really quickly. I drew it myself by hand, burned some CDRs, went to Kinko's to make the covers, and that was enough. We weren't expecting the response that we've gotten and that we continue to get. We're definitely psyched about it, but it's kind of it's been an interesting transition from being the band that, copies our own CDRs and makes the covers at Kinko's to a band the name's starting to circulate more and people are starting to check us out. I have been a little reluctant to do interviews and to do a lot of the more traditional promotional things that a band usually does. Because again, like we were talking about initially, I'm very interested in letting the songs and letting the music do that work for us. It's not the traditional model that bands take, and I've been in bands and am in bands that are not using that model at all. We're doing the more traditional promotion, and here's our promo photo, and we do as many interviews as we can. But with High Spirits, I've been a little a little reluctant to use those techniques because I kind of want to see where this is going. I kind of want to see, this is to me something very special, and I invest a lot of energy in it. And again, I'm very, very psyched by the response that we've gotten so far. So, I'm a little hesitant to make any drastic changes to our approach at this point. It seems to me like it's working.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. And Are you doing live gigs? Is that something that High Spirits does?
Actually, we've done a bunch. We've probably done close to 30 gigs. We did, we've done a handful of local shows in Chicago, which is always a blast. We have a great audience here, and I'm not just talking about our audience. I'm talking about the metal and rock and roll audience in general here in Chicago is fantastic. So, obviously we love playing here, but we've done a couple of short tours, actually. I think we did 9 dates last summer, being 2010, and then it ended up being 15 shows this past spring in May. We were over on the East Coast. You know, when you're in Chicago, it's a lot easier to go east than it is to go west, because you go west and it's, 3 days before the first gig, and
right,
you're in Salt Lake City. So it's a lot easier to go east, which we did, and we had a blast. Made a lot of friends, played pretty well. I would say, we'll probably make an annual tradition out of heading out that way. We'd like to go west at some point too, but we're taking it slow, just kind of, like I said, waiting to see where this is going.
Cool. And Another Night is the latest album by you guys.
Correct.
And when was that released? Earlier this year, right?
Yeah, not much earlier. It was in the middle of August, I think. Okay, yeah, because our CD release show here was on the 19th of August, I think it was. So that's only been out making the rounds for a couple of months. And in some ways, we consider that the studio, the debut album. The first album, the self-titled with the white cover, that's really just a compilation of the demos that we did in 2009. There was some consideration given to maybe re-recording those songs, but with how much that has circulated and in the sense that it has come to be regarded as its own album.
You talk about
with all new material for this one.
You talk about like re-recording some of those songs. Night After Night, there is, and I don't take this in the wrong way, but there is almost a low budget sound about it. But that's
a no budget sound, actually.
No budget. And that's one of the things I love about it, is it brings me back to when I was a kid. And again, like new wave of British heavy metal, about how poor the production was on some of those.
Sure. And that's really, I'm glad you said that. That's part of, I think, what people really responded to about the demos. I was honestly a little nervous that maybe people would find the better production of Another Night a little hard to swallow, and that maybe they wouldn't be as interested without that kind of roughness. So far that hasn't been the case, but I know exactly what you mean, and that was another reason that I kind of shied away from the idea of redoing those songs. Never say never. They're always there if we decide to do that, but for now it seemed like new material was the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Now, I don't know how old you are, but back in the day, do you remember a club called The Thirsty Whale?
The Thirsty Whale was actually gone before I got to Chicago.
Moved
here in the year 2000, and I think it was gone as of 98. I hear about it all the time from friends, but that's where Thirsty Whale and Medusa's is the other place that gets mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
Which also isn't around anymore.
Yeah, I was just curious, being that I spent like 6 years of my life in Chicago, but it was like, 8th grade through 12th grade. So I used to go to the all age shows at the Thirsty Whale. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's left something of a void, because all ages shows can be tricky to put together here.
Yeah.
There's a limited number of venues who think that sounds like, especially, and we're talking about metal now, obviously the more punk oriented shows, that's kind of just part and parcel of that culture. But with the metal shows, and the drinking is such a big part of the deal for everybody.
It is now, but it's interesting, because I swear when I was a kid, heavy metal, like Metallica, for example, like I remember, going to see them, and everybody there was 14 years old, know? And I mean, those guys were 20, 19, 20. And it was such a young, I remember talking to kids that were, seniors, and I was a freshman or sophomore, and they were like, that music is horrible. And I was convinced that old people, the seniors, don't like Metallica. And it was such a young movement back then. And
sure.
I'm glad. I'm kind of still in the movement, and I'm an old man for for the most part. But so it's definitely aged. But it is interesting that I don't know that young kids today realize what a young movement heavy metal was back in the early 80s. And again, that the sound that you guys have, that's what it brings me back to, those great early 80s songs before metal really got, the business side took over and things got a little too much towards the end of the 80s.
And that's really cool to hear that we give you that, kind of that connection.
Definitely.
That's very cool.
Cool. So what is, in the immediate, future for High Spirits?
Right now, we are waiting for the album to be released in Europe. It's coming out on CD and vinyl. Initially, it was actually only supposed to be vinyl, but then I guess the label's distributors were asking for CD, too. So now it's going to be both. The label's called High Roller. Very hardworking, mostly vinyl label. They're located in Germany. Very, very cool guys to work with. They actually released the demos compilation album, the self-titled album, if we're calling it that. They released that with a nice gatefold sleeve. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not.
They did a great job with it. It was a no-brainer to work together again. So that's supposed to be out November 11th, and we're just kind of waiting to see what they're supposed to be lining up a bunch of press for it. And we're mostly I'm excited to get my copies of the LP in the mail. That's what's keeping me going with that. But then, as far as beyond that, we've always got our ears open for shows happening around here. We'll probably try to do another tour next year. But winter tends to be a time that things slow down a little bit. Especially the European market in December, nobody does anything. They take the vacations that that everybody wishes they were taking. Especially during those months. So, besides the album release, that's about it for the immediate future.
Can you go over quickly who actually is in the band?
Well, on the record, you're just hearing me.
Okay.
The record's all me, and when we do it live, it's me and four of my best friends. I'm singing. Our guitar players are Scott and Mike, and our bass player's name is Bob, and our drummer is Ian. And Mike and Bob come from a band, also in Illinois, another Illinois band called Zool. I would think there would be a lot of crossover appeal between High Spirits and Zool. We've done some shows together, which is obviously hard on those guys, but they always, they always pull it together. And Ian has pretty much been my drummer. I don't like the possessive terminology like that, but that's really, he's my drummer, and a couple other bands. We're in Super Christ together. And Scott's been my best friend, since we were in college. He was my college roommate. And, we both kind of took the long way to end up in Chicago, but we're both here now. So that's working out really well. Having these guys that I've been friends with for so long now, able to, step up and make this band a possibility. Because when it started, it was just me with a guitar and some songs and a MySpace page. And it's really grown beyond what I even could have imagined,
Now, you mentioned your other band, Super Christ. It's obviously a different musical style. Have the fans crossed over to High Spirits or not really?
There's been some of that, yeah. There's been some of that. There's some fans of both bands who are probably, totally ignorant that the other one even exists. I try to keep things, fairly compartmentalized, and I'm not trying to piggyback any one band on any other one band. You know what I mean? But there has, for sure, there has been some crossover, and their styles aren't totally dissimilar. I mean, it's all rock and roll at the end of the day. There's
right.
going to be a guitar solo in the song.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We wish you the best of luck. We're going to get into another night in the city right now, which is off the brand new record or fairly new record, Another Night by High Spirits. Thanks, Chris. You know what? Okay. If we could get your name and your band, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Chris Black from High Spirits, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Midnight City. Lights in the sky. Spirits, go.
And we're back with Talking Metal Live. Hi, Mark.
Hey. Yeah. Chris Black, High Spirits. That was a little bit of an ass kisser interview, but that's what we're known for here on Talking Metal. and the guy deserves it. I really honestly love his songs. I actually was talking to him offline. There was a possibility that there might be some more, not necessarily Talking Metal, but some kind of TV show going on where we cover metal songs. This looks less likely now that it's going to happen, but a few weeks back it looked like it was going to happen on a TV.
Oh, you mean station. The jam thing you guys?
Yeah,
have
basically
done?
What we did on the Talking Metal on Fuse show.
Which, P.S. by the way, we're long overdue for that.
For what?
You and me and John.
Oh, a jam.
And whatever.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I know. But there was some interest of maybe possibly doing that on another network. But the problem was the network had no money for clearing songs.
Sure.
Because when we did that Fuse show, you know, we would cover a song and we'd have to pay like $30,000 publishing. Not us personally, but the Fuse would. Because when you cover Paranoid. Mm-hmm. No one gives you your song for free. When you cover a Judas Priest song, they want to get paid, and they should.
Hence why Judas Priest hasn't done a lot of TV.
Yeah.
Even though
that's
we've been asked to.
Really? That's, yeah. Ah, mm-hmm. There you go. I thought that this guy in High Spirits, he writes such good songs, and I was hoping maybe if a TV thing did happen, he would sign up, let us cover his songs for free. The flip side of that is everybody, of course, wants to hear a song that they know, like a Judas Priest
right.
song, or I mean, even hell, look at American Idol. Judas Priest is on American Idol. You know, it's like, you know, it's like people want to hear songs they know.
What did you think of that?
A Judas Priest
on Idol.
What's the kid's name?
James Durbin.
Yeah, James. I liked James. I was kind of rooting for him, although I figured he wouldn't win. I
voted for Sanjaya.
There you go.
I'm mad that you still remember that person's name.
I thought it was. I mean, listen. At one time, the heavy metal that I grew up on, or we all grew up on, like Black Sabbath and Judas Priest, it was super dangerous and kind of on the fringe of society. And as time has gone on, you see marching bands playing Iron Man. And I mean, you know,
yeah,
and,
that's true. But you know what? Still, I'm going to just insert this because this has been a topic of conversation for like a couple weeks
sure.
amongst me and my friends, is that I feel like pop culture has like heavy metal envy. Like they see
yeah.
heavy metal things, like iconic heavy metal things, and they want them, but they don't want.
Yeah, like for example,
the whole
even
heavy
the
metal
you know the devil
stigma.
Horns. Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
like they like things get taken. It's like they want the cliff notes of heavy metal. What
yeah.
they think is, but to them it becomes like all one. Like to a lot of people who don't understand heavy metal. That are more into like pop culture, commercial
right.
music. They meld heavy metal with punk and they meld it with like, you know, I don't know.
Sanjaya.
Rock and roll and Sanjaya.
Right. Right.
And
yeah.
they think it's all like one thing. Or goth. Like some people think goth is rock and roll and metal at
right.
the same time. Like they don't understand. It's like different worlds, you know. But I definitely have I kind of get like a little like, tick in my eyeball when I see like pop singers that want this heavy metal energy or attention or affiliation or anything like that, and they literally will pick out like something as simple as like a font, a logo that looks reminiscent
yeah.
of like Priest or looks like Iron Maiden, or like they'll use skulls and be like, look, this is my band with our skulls, but their music
yeah.
is like, you know, it sounds like elevator music, or it's like, you know, disco pop.
Yeah, no, I am with you 100%. Back to the American Idol thing, you know, it's like it's those people who are you know, back in the day we used to call them posers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people used to call me a poser back in the day, but some people probably still do. But you know, it's like it's those people who watched American Idol and probably maybe were educated to oh, okay, so this band that we wear the t-shirts of and we never heard, oh, this is what they sound like.
Right.
You know, so I mean if it helped Judas Priest at all in any way.
I believe it did.
I'm quite sure it did. I think that it was probably great for them, you know. And
I'll be quite honest, my cell phone was blowing up off the hook all day.
Right.
With people that are going, "Can you believe it? Oh my God, they're doing Idol. What the hell? You know, how dare they? What the hell's going on here?" And it's just like, well, this is probably like one of the biggest nights of their career, and they're in front of more people than they ever would playing live at a show somewhere, like some other show.
Right.
You know, they're getting more viewers, more attention,
totally.
And they've earned it, I feel. You know, they are in that upper echelon. You know, they are in that, to me, that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame status. They're that important and big of a band, you know? So, I mean, people have mixed feelings about it. A lot of the hardcore fans were, you know, thought it was blasphemy.
Well, because they feel that something that's been so precious and close to them for so many years was suddenly exposed, you know, and I relate to that. I mean, I remember when Metallica.
Sort of like seeing grandma on the street corner hooking.
Well,
not exactly the same.
Not exactly, but maybe. Yeah. I mean, I remember when Metallica was like my band as like some, you know, pimple faced teenager. I felt like they were my thing, you know.
It's a sharing thing.
And it was like suddenly Justice for All came out and, you know, they did what they said they would never do, make a music video, and it was on MTV every hour. And I walked into Macy's in, you know, the Quaker Bridge Mall in Trenton, New Jersey, and there was Metallica shirts on the racks at Macy's, and I suddenly was like, wait, this was my thing, you know. Uh-huh. And I felt, you know, and suddenly the football players at high school were wearing
it's a possessive thing. You're possessive of the band you loved. You didn't want anyone else to love them. You wanted to be you that loved them.
Yeah, and I felt like, oh, okay, well, you know, Justice for All, but you don't know, you know, Phantom Lord off of Kill 'Em All. You know, you don't know that song.
No, they don't. Yeah. And, you know, there's an interesting line that gets crossed somewhere, because I remember a friend of mine who I adore very much. One day I saw her hanging out and she had a Ramones t-shirt on. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you liked the Ramones. Like, what songs do you like? And she was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, your shirt that you have on right now. What Ramones songs do you like? I didn't know you were a fan. She was like, oh, I just like the logo. Yeah. And I was like, screw you, man. Like, you can't do that. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is my friend. And like, I don't know, she likes the design. Can I hate her for liking part of the art, even though it's not the music part? I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a definite line that gets crossed amongst all this. But I feel like at this point, I guess the line is so blurry that it doesn't even matter anymore. Do people care? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who care. I know on the Talking Metal forums, there was one guy who was absolutely, completely devastated that Priest and Zakk Wylde had been on
Idol, right?
American Idol.
And plus, he saw his grandma on the street corner. Hooking.
I just went, something
with sangria,
weird.
Sangria. What did you say? Sangina. Sangina.
John Astronomy literally walked into the studio about 5 minutes ago, looked around, and then walked back out. So I don't know what's going on here, but maybe he is texting Ace, getting Ace all set for his 9:15 interview.
Or he has diarrhea.
Or maybe he's munching pizza out there. But I know, Melissa, you're probably going to be taking off soon.
Yeah, I'm going to have to head out soon because I'm on my way to Afropunk and I'm so excited. So for all of you people who don't know what Afropunk is, it is called the Other Black Experience. It's for a voice that's very rarely heard of in the media. People such as myself, the token blacks and all of the rock scenes across the world, we all get together and we have a big party.
Cool.
And it's not some like Black Panther thing. It's not some like, you know, anti other racist thing. It's a celebration of music that we love and fashion and art and skateboarding and BMX and whatever in this scene. It's very cool. It's very Brooklyn. It's a movement. There's a documentary that tells you more about it. You can get it on Netflix. This isn't some like racist thing where like if you're white, you can't go to the events. Like, everyone's allowed to go to the event. It's very cool. Come out. So you can check it out on afropunk.com. And it's just a celebration of the bands we love.
Excellent. And we will have links and info on what you're up to. You mentioned a string of gigs and parties and stuff. So we'll try.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dates coming up.
We'll try to link to your site. Maybe all that stuff is up there.
Yeah. www.militiaismyname.com. So that's my official website. There's show dates. There's info on me. There's pictures. There's all kinds of fun stuff. So definitely check it out. And there's swearonyourlife.com and judaspriestessband.com. So be my friend on Twitter and Facebook and all that cool stuff.
Excellent.
And we'll talk about music and metal and art and life.
Cool. Thank you for joining us, Militia. We'll have you back real soon.
Thanks for having me.
And this is Manowar with All Men Play on 10.
Rock and roll sin. When I tried giving in to make money, had to turn down low. They said, why be proud? Don't play so loud. Be like us and get a sound that's real thin. Wear a polyester suit, act happy, look cute. Get a haircut and buy a small gear. That's when I turned to them and said, hold it, right there. Well, it's war to me, it's just a job. And while I'm playing, you won't be robbed. Nobody tells a man how to play. It just ain't that way. Until the day you die. I really put it to the floor when I hear the crowd roar. Oh, it's music to my ears when they scream. Then I run back to the power rack and deck all of my gear. Well, it's more to me than just a job. And while I'm playing, you won't get robbed. Nobody tells a man how to play. It just ain't that way.
Gonna turn down again.